What's the geographical and human scope of this potential crisis?
So to put the drought in Somalia in context, right now we're seeing global hunger levels at their highest in decades, and about 20 million people are actually on the brink of famine.
To what degree is this overall crisis climate-driven or driven by politics and conflicts on the ground?
The drought in Somalia is really resulting from two consecutive seasons of failed rains across the Horn of Africa during really one of the strongest El Nino events on record. So right now we're heading into what is normally the rainy season that runs April to June in Somalia, but forecasts are suggesting that these April rains are likely to be below normal. And if the rains fail again, we could see a similar situation to what we saw in 2011. And in 2011, Somalia experienced the worst famine of the 21st century, and about 250,000 people died. So to put that in perspective, if you can imagine essentially like half the population of Portland City proper being wiped out due to hunger, that's what happened in 2011, and that's what we're worried about happening again.
Wow. This time around in Somalia, it could be as many as 5 million people affected?
Well, right now, more than 6 million people, which is about half the country's population, are in need of assistance. And that includes about 360,000 acutely malnourished children who really need critical support, including about 71,000 children who will die if they don't get treatment.
As far as Mercy Corps itself, and what sort of programs do you do on the ground in Somalia?
So Mercy Corps has been working in Somalia since 2005, and we've been really focused on helping communities to prepare to better withstand and recover from these types of climate changes. So we distribute food and clean water. We distribute cash vouchers so families can buy what they need. We provide training, education, and economic opportunities for young people, and we also help strengthen local economies and help people sort of restore their own sources of income.
And do you partner with other groups on the ground there?
We do. We always partner with local organizations, civil society groups. We really believe communities know what they need best, and oftentimes we are most effective if we can partner with local organizations who are, you know, embedded and entrenched in the communities where we're working.
And you said you've been speaking over the weekend with some of your people on the ground there. And what have they been seeing?
Well, what we're seeing is shooting prices, increasing prices in for food, for water. We're seeing people unable to find or afford medical treatment for their children. What's important to know about Somalia is that many people rely on livestock for their sources of food and income. And these herders, they move their livestock, so camels, goats, they move around the country in search of water, in search of pastures. And so when you have limited rainfall, you don't have irrigation for crops, you don't have irrigation for your livestock, you can't find vegetation. And so we're seeing livestock dying. About 3/4 of the livestock population in Somalia has already been wiped out. And our team, you know, has really seen labor prices collapsing. They've seen local food prices rising. Food is harder and harder to get.
Do people need to travel a long distance to get to help?
Absolutely. And in fact, what we're seeing is that people are leaving as they can't find water sources, and they're increasingly moving to these displacement settlements in urban areas. And so then you have more and more pressure on these urban areas where there might already be shortages, but you have more people needing food. So that creates tension that, again, affects the markets and prices. So it absolutely, we see large displacement.
And so on the aid end of things, where is, for example, Mercy Corps feeling the strain here? It seems like way more people are potentially going to be affected than aid organizations are prepared for. Is that accurate at all?
That is. Last week, the head of the UN said that they need $5.6 billion by March, so just this month coming up, and that's just to avert catastrophe. The UN appeal this year for 2017 is a record level $22 billion to support 93 million of the world's most vulnerable people. And what's important to know is right now, the humanitarian community, including organizations like Mercy Corps, is stretched incredibly thin. While humanitarian funding worldwide has actually risen, it just cannot keep up with the growing level of need. Barely 2% of that money is in hand right now. So the entire community is stretched incredibly thin.
What needs to happen and how quickly?
Well, in the immediate, the international community and governments like the United States need to provide funding for humanitarian assistance to save lives. That funding needs to be dispersed quickly, and it needs to go to international organizations like Mercy Corps, with a presence and experience in the region, as well as national and local organizations, like I mentioned before, who really know their communities best and what they need. In the long term, though, we know that meeting urgent needs it's not enough. It's a quick fix and it's important, but we have to lay the groundwork now so that next year or the year after, that people are more resilient and they're better able to cope with what we're seeing as a reoccurring pattern.
Anything you'd like to add?
Well, we are so appreciative of the Portland community and their support of Mercy Corps. We couldn't do the work we do without Portland. So we always encourage you to visit mercycorps.org. We appreciate any donation, and you can visit our website to learn more about the work that we're doing.
I've been speaking with Lynn Hector with Mercy Corps in Portland. Lynn, thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Thank you for having me.
For KBOO Evening News, I'm Sam Bowman.